Welcome to Inside Dirt, presented by ATVScene.com, your passport to the behind-the-scenes world of the WPSA Power Sports ATV Tour, the nation's leading ATV racing series. Inside Dirt is hosted by Mark Strawbanger and John Pellet.
All right, we're back. The first round, the pilot went pretty darn well here at Inside Dirt. This is the second version of it, and happy to be here with Mark. And Mark, what do you have to say for all those people that decided to turn around and not participate at Cooperland this weekend?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, if you were watching the Doppler radar, it wasn't a bad idea, because I'm telling you, we had some really horrific weather here. We had almost a foot of rain in 4 days. We also witnessed a lot of hail, and it was not the best weather to actually be traveling in.
Yeah, we did a little interview with Doug Gust, and I take his opinion pretty sharply. He knows his stuff, especially, you know, the dozer operator, been riding, you know, forever, and knows tracks well, and he didn't think that it could be done. He thought, man, this thing, there's a lot of water on there. We had rivers, I think, running through the track, and for Doug to say that he didn't think it could be done, it's pretty instrumental that these guys made this thing happen. It's pretty cool.
And then definitely Dale Schultz, Eddie Adair, and Donnie Banks, man, they got and went to work and brought this around. And really, the track was in exceptional shape. They only had to, actually, they had to water one time, and the track really, as far as racing conditions, could not have been better. So I'm sure there's a lot of folks that turned around and did not make it to this event, wish they hadn't make it. But, you know, when it comes to safety and you traveling with these big rigs and you got kids, it's important to take their safety into concern. As a matter of fact, our TV crew left the facility when there was a storm out here, folks, that there was some rotation and everything, and we were in the tower. Of course, y'all were there when the hail was falling, and I was actually looking for a place, to hide, to get under a stage or do something.
Well, this is the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma. It's Tornado Alley. I understand there's some serious tornadoes
There was definitely, some spouts that were being produced there, and we got away lucky is all I can say.
Right. And it ended up being an incredible weekend with excellent racing.
Yep, it sure was. And I'll tell you what, the Super Quad Pro 450 class was phenomenal. You know, we were going into that, Pat Brown winning both of his heat races, Dustin Wimmer winning a heat race as well as I believe John Natale taking a win in his heat race. And
John's amazing. He's supposed to be sitting out, I understood, and here he comes out and wins the heat race and ends up being, where did he end up? Second.
Yeah, it was second overall. Here's our the top 10, just real quick to run down. Dustin Wimmer taking the win, Natalie in second, third to Keith Little, Pat Brown in fourth, Doug Gust in the fifth spot, sixth spot, Chad Weenan, seventh spot, Jason Dunkelberger. In the eighth position was Harold Goodman. Ninth spot, Dustin Nelson. Tenth spot, Jason Luberg. And folks, I'll tell you what, the battle was from fourth down. In fact, I didn't even say Wimmer's name, but maybe three times during the race.
He checked out. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, Natale and Little, there wasn't much battling going on there, but I'm going to tell you what, it was crazy from fourth place down to eighth. It was just swinging at each other.
Right on. It's always cool to see my boy Keith Little up on the front, too. He's a podium. I love Keith to death. He's always been a great dude, and I'm happy for him for getting third, too. So can't forget Keith. It's cool.
Yeah, and Jason Luberg, who did finish 10th overall, was in fourth place for a long time. And, of course, Doug Gust come up and got around him, and then Pat Brown got around Jason, and then Pat actually got around Digger Doug. And the pass that Pat made is just phenomenal. Coming up right in front of the tower, you're going to be able to see this on ESPN2 Saturday, July 7th at noon on Eastern Standard Time. And I hope they got that pass.
I'm sure they did. These guys are incredible, the kind of cameras everywhere. I'm sure they did.
It was beautiful, and Once again, Keith Little getting the hole shot. That put him $1,000 in his pocket, the Quad Magazine Hole Shot Award. Of course, Dustin Wimmer putting $4,000 in his pocket from the WPSA. And also, Dustin Nelson was the biggest mover with $500. And, of course, that was from ATVSource.com. Lots of great racing there in our Super Quad Pro 450 class.
You think Pat Brown will be coming to more of these? It seemed like he really enjoyed himself. So I think our trackside correspondent, Justin Anderson, went and talked to him. And it sounded like he was pretty happy to be here. Did you get a chance to talk to Pat this weekend?
Yes, I did. And he is really excited to be here. And in fact, I believe we have an interview. Let's go ahead and go to that.
Can do Pat Brown here. Welcome back to the WPSA.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back. I really love this series, and you know, I'm just glad to be able to hit a few of these races whenever I can.
Talk about the weekend a little bit. Fastest qualifier yesterday. How'd practice go?
Real good. Track looks like it's gonna be in perfect shape. You know, I can't believe they took on however many inches of rain. I think they got about a foot of rain here in the last week, and for the track to be as good as it is amazing. So they really got their act together down here, and I think Donnie Banks has his hands in making that track come together that good. So you know, it's gonna be a good race.
So Yamaha's really been really doing well this year. What are the future plans with Yamaha and yourself?
Yamaha's great. I mean, they're just supporting me so much, and I'm so thankful for all the help they give me. I mean, without them it wouldn't be possible. I mean, all the other sponsors really kick in a ton too, and you know, I see, you know, hopefully some championships in the future here for Yamaha.
So is the hopeful future to come over here and maybe win a WPSA championship down the road here?
Yeah, I'd definitely love to do that. I love to focus here and try to win a championship over here. But for now, it's just going to go race to race and see how many races I can win.
Talk about your travel a little bit. Unlike a lot of these guys, you're up in New Jersey, and, man, you must spend a ton of time on the road.
Yeah, you know, I get the motorhome stuff, and kind of that's pretty much home to me. I'm in there way more than I'm at home, so... It's comfortable, though. I can't complain, and I don't mind being on the road. It's neat seeing different things, and I spend so much of my time training and stuff that I really don't have any need to be home.
So you ready to go win one today?
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited. You know, I saw Cody win that Pro-Am today. Cody Miller won that Pro-Am on the Yamaha, and I'm just ready to go out there and win on the Pro class.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
Yep, no problem, man.
Appreciate it.
Well, sounds like life's pretty good for Pat, rolling around in that big motorhome hauler of his. And I know Pat does pretty good with the girlies, too. So he's probably enjoying life pretty well.
Well,
getting to travel around and hang out and being one hell of a racer, that's for sure.
Well, you know, he's been hanging out with Ashley Carden quite a bit. And rumor has it that Pat Brown may be moving to Macon, Georgia.
No, that's for those that don't know, that's our cute little score girl. Score girl plus, the starting girl.
Yep.
No, jack of all trades, Ashley and Cricket both.
That's so. Right, and I'll tell you what, Pat is an awesome guy, you know, Sheriff Brown, his dad, just the nicest people in the world.
You're not kidding.
And I've known Ashley Carden and her... you know, her father and stuff. I remember Ashley back in the day when I worked at Gatorback, and actually her and Cricket would run the scores from the scores to the office. So, you know, it's pretty neat to see this young little girl at the time come up and meet such a great guy like
who
Pat
knows?
Brown.
Maybe they'll get married, and she might make for a great couple. Who knows?
Well,
I'm jealous of him.
Well, he's looking for our house, but, you know, back to his racing action, the fastest qualifier. He was very complimentary of the track work done here, and then, of course, he complimented Donnie Banks and the crew for coming up and being
right.
part of this. He also thanked Yamaha.
Right on. You know who else he complimented? Cody Miller.
Yeah.
And man, how cool is that? That Cody, they're friends and everything. They'll talk to each other. Also, Team Yamaha. I got much love for Cody Miller. He's like one of my boys.
Right.
He's he's Hunter and Cody. They're the 12 Hours of America. They own the land that we run the race on. And I don't know. I love seeing him ride too. He's got that style. He's really. I think he's going to be something, Cody.
Well, I'll tell you what. He actually came out. You know, they were getting ready to go out and run their sight lap, and actually Pat came out off of the starting area and came down and met Cody, and you know, hey, the Yamaha family's alive, and
right on.
Pat Brown, just amazing. You know, and I was also telling Pat, I'm glad you did real well in the qualifiers, but I'm kind of glad that you didn't win today, because he's running third in another series, and we want to make sure that the competition stays alive.
What do you say to that? But he didn't like that, I bet. He doesn't want you to.
Well, no, he understood what I was talking
about.
He's just because
joking around, yeah.
If he came over here and just smoked everybody,
right.
Then, you know, the other series say, oh, well, you know, we're faster. But,
yeah.
You know, like I said, it's early in the stages, and Pat, you know, he is going to get up there, whatever series he's racing in. He's going to do his very best, and that's a very young series, and I'm not surprised if Pat can't move up and take over that series as well. So, once again, it's great to have Pat with us. You know, he said he wants to focus on WPSA in the future, and he's just an all-around great guy, a great racer, and I think in 2008 we're going to see Pat Brown join Cody Miller and the crew over here with the Yamaha camp and focusing on the WPSA Tour.
Right on. Future looks good for my homeboy. What do we got next? Want to talk a little quad terrain? Or?
I'll tell you what, man. Quad terrain was phenomenal. It was, but the new sport, since we're going from Pat Brown being new to this series, we're going to go into our pro super sport real quick. Rider 737, Michael Niebusch out of City Valley, Ohio. He got the hole shot and rolled it over there on the back side. And Darrell Rath was chasing him. Now, before that happened, Darrell spun out and he did a 180. And of course, that was when he was chasing the 129 ride of Bryce. I think his name is Bryce Simon out of Augusta, Kansas. There was a lot of action there in that pro super sport side by side. Now, what I'm really impressed with, we were talking about this earlier, is on the West Coast, it's all about the Rhino. The Rhino is the big ticket item.
Right.
Everybody's going all good guns for that.
Oh, you can't even get them out there. Everybody wants a Rhino.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And they're like, what is a Prowler? Nobody's even heard of the Prowler.
Yep.
But Darrell Rath brings two machines out there. We had Kyle Feeblecorn out of Wilmar, Minnesota. Of course, Darrell Rath out of Hutchinson, Minnesota. They came out with these super modified Arctic Cat Prowlers.
It didn't look like it was much Prowler, much Arctic Cat. It looked like it was a Rath Racing innovation.
Well,
that
you know,
it was just sick.
Yeah, all those are you know, pretty sketchy about what they really are.
Yeah,
they do have
unbelievable.
I guess you could say they have Arctic Cat plastic on them. The same
it looked
with
like
the
a
Rhinos.
Trophy truck, man. What he was driving. That
same with the Rhinos
awesome.
As well. And what's really interesting about that is the low profile of the Prowler. And they came out here. They had they didn't get the hole shot. You know, we got the 737 of Michael Niebusch got out there. Also, Bryce Simon got out there and was running real strong. And on almost the last lap, Bryce had some air intake problems. And his co-pilot actually had to stick his fingers into the tubes of the air intake to create a vacuum to get that machine started. Now, this is on the final lap, so Darrell Rath and his co-pilot come over the jump, and his co-pilot actually thought that Bryce's thought that he got the checkered flag. That's what he was originally thinking. Oh my gosh, he thinks he got the checkered flag. He pulled over and stopped. Keep
no,
going, Darrell. Keep going. And then he came around him, and the co-pilot, I don't have his name, I'm sorry, I don't. Once again, I said, he stuck his fingers in the tube, created a vacuum, they got the machine fired up, but it was too late.
Wow.
Darrell Rath came out here and put the Prowler on the first spot in the podium, and what's really going to be neat is the folks out there on the West Coast are all into, you know, the Yamaha Rhino, the big ticket item,
right.
And, you know, it's like the West Coast just beating the East Coast. I mean, there's like no competition over here on the East Coast as far as Rhino racing. And now to have East Coast come down with this Arctic Cat Prowler and to produce this winning machine, it's kind of neat because the West Coast is out there. Yeah, we are, you know, we're the bomb, and we're the masters of this sport. And then all of a sudden, boom, here comes out of the North this Prowler that really was really impressive. And it was really great to see you know, a little competition. Competition is good for any sport, and that's exactly what happened.
Well, Jennifer Rath invited me to ride in shotgun with her in a Prowler next race. So I said, well, are we allowed to flirt while we're out there riding? She said, yeah. So I'm like, I might do it now. I don't know.
John, let me tell you what, buddy. You're going to be screaming and holding on for dear
life. No, Jennifer, she said she's got to drive, so I can't. I wanted to drive.
What?
I said, well, okay, if I don't get to drive, then I get to flirt with you, right? And she said she agreed. So I might be going. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Jennifer's lovely, by the way. I like Jennifer. I like the whole Rath deal.
Yeah.
You gotta love those, Daryl and Jen. They're cool.
Rath Racing came down, went to work, and did exactly what they wanted to do, and taking the number one spot there on the Pro Super
Sport.
Yeah,
their business is going great. Every one of those Arctic Cats seems like they're equipped with Rath stuff everywhere, and looks like they're working. Those things are starting to do well. I mean, Can-Am always seems to get the whole shot, but man, I think they're starting to do something with the clutches or something's going on. I can tell they're running a little better.
We know Rath brought some new machinery, and in the Quad Train Challenge, we had a young man come and join us, and his name was Chris Burrich. And Chris, of course, everybody knows, of the Grand National Cross Country fame, came along and also brought Chris Bithell with him. And
those are my boys right there. Chris Bithell, Chris Burrich, and John Natale. That's our the dream team for the 12 Hours of ATV America, which they can still run. Because even though they're Can-Am now, I think what's going to happen is Chris Borch is going to end up with a full factory ride from Can-Am, and he'll be on DS450s real soon.
That's right. And
it's going to be real soon. So we were bummed out. You know, I was talking to John, but darn it, they can't do their 12-hour team anymore. But yes, they can, because we've got three different machines now, so they could still do it.
I'm pretty excited
about that. But
and
go ahead.
John Natale was interviewed out there, and John said that they are coming to the 12-hour course, and they are going to go to Kentucky as well as the West boys. They're going to be coming to the six-hour race in Kentucky. And you know, like I told everybody, keep your eye on Chris Burrich. Chris came out last year with a Honda and just destroyed it. You know, he bought it brand new, brought it down there.
I remember that.
And when he got the end of the day,
it was like... I know.
I think he just rolled it over to the dumpster and just dropped
Chris
in there.
Chris is hard on equipment to begin with, too.
Well,
unreal.
And that's part of the reason why he got the Biggest Mover Award. Once again, ATVSource.com hooking us up, the Biggest Mover Award. And that's because he got 8th place in heat number 1. He got 2nd place in heat number 2. And he took the overall win. Chris Burrich doing an awesome job. He got the Whole Shot Award, $500 for that. He got the Biggest Mover Award, $500 for that. And then, of course, he got his big WPSA check. So, actually, it was kind of weird on the podium. He was actually having to hold 3 checks. So he came out here, his first race of the 2000.
You know what, though? Jesse West had a not great of a start. I think he was mid-pack, 8th or 9th. So some love to Jesse West for working his way past everybody. He was doubling some of these tabletops. I mean, not tabletops, telephone poles. And when he doubled it through the stuff and hammered through. I mean, I was pretty impressed with Jesse West this weekend. He ended up hunting down Chris Burrich. And it wasn't a runaway.
I'll tell you who was another great guy in the Quad Trades Challenge, and that is my buddy, the Man in Black, Joe Duncan. And I believe we have an interview with him as well.
Right. I've been looking forward to this one. Joe's. I love Joe to death. So yeah, let's go to tape.
Let's roll it.
Outlaw Joe Duncan. Joe has a long history with the WPSA, formerly the WSA. I guess Joe, tell us a little bit about your past here with the company.
Well, we founded WSA 11 years ago now, and it doesn't seem that long, but a long time ago. Started with snowmobile racing. We took basically two circuits that were good at two different things and combined them together and made basically the NASCAR of snowmobiling. And for 10 years, we were the world leader in snowmobile racing. All different forms, not just snowcross, as you see on the X Games and on ESPN and Speed and everything else out there, but all over the world we ran events.
Now, being a founder of this company, one of the founders of this company, how does it feel now that we're moving forward into the ATV side of things and racing in summer and winter?
It's great to have two seasons under your belt, you know. It's been something we talked about 4 years ago when we started working with Test Tool and talked about combining what they were doing with ATVs and what we were thinking about doing with ATVs and putting the two deals together, and didn't really come about there right away. And then after a while, it just made a lot of sense. You got a summer season, you got a winter season, and yeah, it looks like it's all coming together.
And you liked it so much over here in the dirt, now you're on your own quad out here racing in our Quad Train Challenge Pro Stock class.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how I just got started racing with this. You know, I come from snowmobile racing, more of cross country than snowcross, and it's kind of how we got involved in the racing in the first place was my racing background. And so when we came over here to ATVs, didn't really know a lot about it, but I knew a lot of the key players in the industry, Doug Gust, Daryl Rath, Wes Miller, and Tess. He knew a bunch of people in the ATV industry. And the one thing we didn't have is a real background of racing. And the other thing we didn't have is this new sport called quad terrain. And at the very first race that we ran, we knew there wasn't going to be a lot of riders there. And between my relationship with the Rath family and Rath Racing and Daryl, and our relationship with, at that time, talking with Artie Cat with Daryl, our first race we had seven riders. Four of the seven riders I brought to the table. One local guy, and then Donnie Banks jumped on board, and that gave us seven riders for that first ESPN event there. Chris Evans was out there racing, and it was awesome. Without that, we would have had two riders there to start that first race. Probably wouldn't have went over so well. So that's kind of how it got started. I was racing a Polaris that I brought from home. I went and traded one in at my local dealership at Old Hilltop Sports Polaris in Hill City, and traded it in, grabbed me a new wheeler, and my first mile on it was on the practice course at our first race. It was pretty cool.
So to go from those seven riders where you just got a bunch of guys trying to get this thing going, and nowadays it's really seen some success in a pretty short time.
Yeah, we kind of knew that that we had a potential for some success once we got it started, and once we got let people see what it was going on and what kind of racing that actually was going to be. It's more for the anybody guy. It's not for the true in-fit racer, let me tell you from experience, but it's for anybody. Anybody can come out and try this. It's crazy, but it's what some of these guys do on their everyday four-wheelers, everyday ATVs out in their backyard or out in their field or on, you know, some property someplace. It's what they do with them, and we just take it to a new level and put television to it and some bunch of spectators around it, and away we got a show.
Thank you, Joe.
Joe Duncan, I'll tell you what. Doug Gust actually called me and said, listen, there's a gentleman up in Minnesota that wants to talk to you. When I did the Great Outdoor Games, of course, for ESPN and got away from another series, Doug Gust said, hey, man, there's a guy named Joe Duncan that wants to talk to you. And I actually met Joe over the phone 2 or 3 years ago, and you know, I've heard about Joe Duncan. Of course, he's been running events, the X Games, since 1996, all around the world. He was hooked up with Tess Sewell, and he's good friends with Daryl Rath, and of course Doug. And it was pretty amazing that I finally got to meet him and find out what a great guy he really was. The first time I really met him, of course, was in London, Kentucky. He came down there with a brand new Polaris. There was only seven riders at that event. Four of those were his, of course, Donnie Banks, and also a young man named Adam Vaughn. And they had this great dream of the Quad Terrain Challenge, and they put it together, and it's phenomenal.
Mark, how did Joe have something to do with the name Quad Terrain Challenge? Well, how did that come about? I'm just curious.
I believe Tess Sewell and Joe put that together. I'm not 100% sure about that.
I remember
that.
Talking about, I was part of that consultant team. That's where I met him. We did some brainstorming on the new WPSC series. I think it was actually in my motorhome then. In Macon, Georgia, I met Joe. And we all sat around talking about this idea of the WPSA Power Sports Tour. And that's when I first met him, and I agree with you. He's a really cool guy, and I'm looking forward to meeting him. We're hanging out with him. I'm going up to the 6 hours of Wisconsin, and he's going to come participate in that race. He's bringing his whole team and stuff too, I guess. So pretty cool. We're going to, it's right on the border of Minnesota where he lives. And while I'm up there, I'm going to hang out from a week, and I heard how he rolls, so I'm kind of excited about it. It should be a pretty fun time. And while we're up there, we're going to shoot a scene girl. And he's got something in mind, so I'm pretty excited to see, because, you know, like I say, I like how he rolls. So I think we're going to have a good time up there for the week after, I believe, the week after the 6 hours of Wisconsin. And then we're going to go to the Rossville, Indiana, I believe it is. But anyway, while we're up there, we're going to shoot this girl. It'll be the first scene girl off land. We're actually going to shoot her out in the water on a pontoon boat.
Well,
so,
hey.
Does that sound like fun or what? I mean, I can't wait.
Well, I'll tell you what. You might even be able to throw a snowmobile into the factory there.
No, and Joe, he may have some sort of snowmobile that rides on water or something. You never know. The guy's got it going on.
Yeah, you got to love Joe. The man in black, he is, a lot of people up north know him. Park X, I believe, was a facility that he owns, and a lot of great things come out of Joe Duncan.
You know, another great thing, we're working with Joe on this helmet cam footage. And you, from starting a couple days, I believe, you're going to be able to see what Joe sees through his eyes. And we've got some pretty good deal going on this helmet cam. He's actually, you could see, he's got it inside the goggles. So when he pulls cleans his goggles off, you can see. So because if you didn't do that on a quad train, you're not going to see much because it's nothing but mud. So I'm looking forward to some of the footages he's going to be able to provide for us. And how cool is that? I mean,
things are good.
That's
pretty awesome. And, you know, you were talking about ladies, and one of the ladies that really surprised me today was Angela Butler.
Another fellow scene girl.
Yep. She just comes out here and amazes me week.
And I'm proud of that, by the way. Angela's one of our scene girls. Some, I get a lot of flack. They're like, well, why don't you have models? I thought it was all models. No, it isn't.
No.
Scene girls are, you know, ATV scene's kind of, it's our biggest hitter. I mean, everybody hits the scene girls. And it's kind of cool how we can also have racers that, you know, don't have to be a model all the time. But anyway, yeah, we did do an interview. Well, Justin did an interview with Angela. And before I cut you off there, I didn't mean to do that to you, Mark. But
it's all good. I want to go to hear Angela Butler.
Me too.
Formerly Angela Moore.
Initially, Angela, just tell us what it's like to be a woman ATV racer in WPSA.
To be a women's ATV racer in WPSA is really good. The women's class is getting more and more recognition every year, and it's just going to take time till we're one of the top pro guys out there. You know, the level's getting stepped up, and the girls are more getting involved in the racing, and in the future it's going to be really good.
How'd you get started in this sport?
I got started just over about 14 years ago with my dad. He got me started. First off, I just did trail riding on a Yamaha Moto 4 from there, and my dad went and got some LT80s and been on the track ever since.
So is this really what you want to do? Is this what makes your heart beat?
This is cool. It's definitely an adrenaline rush. I've done lots of different athletic things in my life, and ATVing has been number one for a lot of years, and I love the sport. I like what I do, and, you know, hopefully things will come together in the future where I can kind of make some good money at it.
Now, you talk about being in shape and being physical. What does it take? What's your training regimen like to stay in shape?
My training regimen revolves a lot around Dr. Rice's the Moto TST program. I work with him pretty closely, and, you know, making sure I stayed in shape and everything. On the other part of staying in shape, you got to just eat right. You know, you got to know what's good and what's bad for you. You know, you can have a hamburger every once in a while, but it can't be at 9 o'clock at night right before you go to bed every week. So you just got to maintain your foods. You can still eat good foods, but you can still have your junk foods. You just got to maintain them.
So what do you do to get ready for a race?
To get ready for the race, I just make sure my bike is all ready to go from there. I just get myself mentally and physically prepared. You know, if I know I'm physically prepared, I just have to go and mentally prepare myself, mentally learn the track, and mentally tell myself that I can go out there and beat these people and come out number one.
Well, we'll close on, how's the weekend going this year?
It's really good. intense storms yesterday. I roll into the track this morning a little after 9 and they're practicing. So it was really good. It's kind of humid today when the sun is out, but there's a little bit of a breeze. The track is in excellent shape. They had to cut quite a bit of it down, but what they have, it's in really good shape. So it's just the pits that are just real muddy mess, but it's pretty nice, just a little warm.
So ready to go out and win another one this week?
Ready to go out, yeah. I gotta wash my bike from the first moto, get the red staining clay off all my white plastic and my white frame. But I'm not just gonna go out, make sure my bike is ready to go out and put number 2 in the books.
Cool, thank you.
You're welcome.
Angela's awesome. I think Angela's the all-time best female racer the sport's ever seen. Those are pretty hard words. I mean, it's strong words, but I'll back it up. I mean, I'll put her up against Susan Parker, Leslie Wells, Heather Bird, Carol Brandt, Holly Schwartzer, any of those girls in the past that have been pretty outstanding, especially Heather Bird. She's a hell of a rider, too. But I got to say, with the amount of wins she has, and she's got to be the best the sport's ever seen. You agree, Mark?
Well, I definitely agree, especially here in the WPSA series. 8 wins out of 8 outings. She's been doing this for 14 years. Of course, her dad, Jack Moore, of course, coming to all the races, and she's actually been brought up racing there all the time, and she's serious about this. You know, Angela is a big bone girl. She's a muscly. She works with Dr. Rice, Moto TST, and you know, she was talking about her eating right and things, and Angela is she's focused, and that's what it's all about. You know, originally from East Springfield, Pennsylvania, she was Angela Moore, of course, back in the day, and we knew her as Big Bad Angela Moore coming up through the ages, and then of course she married Scott Butler with Lone Star and moved out to Arizona and actually works at Lone Star right now, and they have some great products. And you know, she was talking about one of the reasons for her success is mental preparation. She just goes out there, she actually rides the track, and then at night, in her mind, she actually envisions herself riding the track, and that's half of the battle, is just getting in your mind, say, okay, I'm going to do this. You know, she's going to get out there and run strong. She actually didn't get a whole shot here this weekend. She actually had to go to work a little bit, so that's always good, keep her on her toes. But she was really complimentary of the track. The guys just did a great job on the track, and Angela came out and made the best of it.
You know, it's something about Angela. She doesn't practice much. It's wild. A lot of these girls have practice tracks in their backyards and stuff. Angela, she'll just show up. She kind of reminds me of me. That's how I used to be in my career. I just get my practice on the Friday of the race, at the race. And that's pretty much what she's doing somehow. I can't believe that she's able to run like she does without practice. And, you know, she'll run down the guys.
That's
unbelievable,
right?
That she's not just women racers. And in fact, I was out when I did the photo shoot with her in Arizona. It was they had a quad cross out there, and it was pretty good deal. A lot of riders. She signed up for the A expert class. We're not talking women. This was the men.
Right.
And she's out running the guys. She was leading the race for about, I'm gonna say, a quarter of the race. In the end, I believe she ended up getting second or maybe third. I think it was second. And those are some pretty fast A guys out in the West Coast. And there's Angela Butler out there beating them. Pretty cool.
Well, you know, she's one of those people that just was born with natural talent.
Oh, yeah.
And she feels very at home on her ATV. Like I said, she's been riding for 14 years. And her mental preparation, her natural talent, and her 14 years of riding really paid off this weekend.
Right. I love her to death. When I was out there, I got to meet her mom a little more, and I already get a kick out of her dad, Jack Moore. You gotta love the guy. If you ever go into our forums, it's LT80. It's Jack Moore. And he's got some pretty damn funny comments and stuff. He says, some of the stuff he says is just off the hook. But in the end, the guy's sincere, and you know what? I really like him a lot. The whole family's awesome. And I don't know. She's quite a girl. You know, I don't have a lot of girl friends. You know what I mean? I kick it with guys more than anything, but she's something about her. I get along great with her, and she's a good friend of mine. I don't have too many female friends, but Angela, I call one definitely one of my good friends.
Well, you know, Angela is like one of the guys. If you're hanging out in the pit, she's hanging right there with us.
You gotta love her to death. Yeah, if anyone that knows her knows what I'm talking about, she's cool. So I'm glad we got that interview with her. That was pretty neat.
She was commenting about how the sport's grown. Of course, not long ago, there was only a women's class. There was no women A, B, and C. And now that we actually have a women's A and a women's BC class, getting to that level of competition, and we're getting quite a few riders in each class, and it's good to see the women's class growing, and a lot of young little girls out there, you know, some young riders are looking up to Angela Butler and say, I want to be just like Angela Butler.
Absolutely.
When I get older.
She'll do autographs and there'll be big lines. They want to be just like Angela. What a great role model. I don't blame them.
Well, she's doing a great job. But doing the great job this weekend was Dustin Wimmer. Dustin Wimmer, man, he's the man to beat in the WPSA 2007 Power Sports Tour. And Justin Anderson has some words with Dustin Wimmer.
So coming from last year, finishing second in points, obviously a privateer deal, coming into this this factory hauler, how things been going this year?
Been going great. Ziggy Yoshimura, MSR Pro Tapers, just really stepped forward and gave me a dream come true ride. So it's good. Looking good for this weekend. 1-2 finish in the heats, and looking for a number one spot on the main.
And when you got that call in the off season, and that had to, like you said, it was like a dream come true.
Yeah, I mean, it's just great to have an opportunity to do this. I've been waiting this my whole life, and it's a dream come true. So.
Now, it's obviously a great team. Suzuki's been well established as a strong factory team for many, many years in motocross and ATV and pretty much every other form of power sports. But chemistry is really important in these teams. And how did that work out when you came into the team and dealing with your mechanics and your other guys? How's that working out this year?
Yeah, everybody's great on the team. I got my mechanic from last year, Farron Duke. He came along with me, so we already had a great relationship, and work real well with everybody on the team. All my teammates, Doug and Chad, and Ryan, a motor builder, and Rick Shocks, and John, truck drivers, everybody. It's all a big family.
Now, you and Doug Gus were really beating on each other last year, trying to go that back and forth with the points. How did it feel to come into this team, and now you're on the same team?
I think it's good, definitely. It's just another teammate, so just go out there and do what you got to do on the track, and come back here, and it's all good.
So you talk about the weekends, doing well in the heats, things going just this year, going great?
So far, yeah, we're doing good. Nice and consistent so far, so that's what I'm looking for.
So that five-way sweep last race had to feel pretty good.
Yeah, it was great to have all the Zookies up there like that. I look real good, so.
All right, well, thank you, Dustin. I appreciate it, buddy.
You know, he mentioned Fast Farron Dukes from Florida. Sorry I had to say it like that, because I've said it like that for a while, and Farron probably knows what I'm talking about. Well, he's got that little nickname, Fast Farron Dukes from Florida. I don't know why I say it, but I got to. Sorry. I usually make fun of anyone. I'm not making fun of him, but love the dude to death. He's, I think he's a big reason why Dustin's doing so well. Not taking anything away from Dustin. He's riding his butt off, but Farron is really methodical, and I think he's helping his program.
What was amazing is that Dustin could take his mechanic with him. A lot of times when you go to a factory team from a privateer,
right,
they stick you with somebody else. And I think that Farron Dukes and Dustin were a great team.
That's Brent Russell. Brent Russell at Yoshimura Suzuki. He's got his hand on the pulse of this whole thing, and I think he knows how to run a race team. Him and Rod Lapusnak. And I think they do things correctly over there, big time. I mean, they hire the right people. They're looking how they're winning. Their presence is insane, like Dustin was saying. They got everything covered. Speaking of, you think anyone will ever top Suzuki's presence in these pits?
I don't know. I'm looking real hard at Kawasaki in 2008. They got a great machine. They start out, they only had like 3 months to prep for this, but
right.
It's going to be tough to beat
it's like a
Dustin
resort Wimmer over there. They got palm trees, they got big easy ups all over the place, the semi truck. It's you walk through there and you feel like you're at a mall or something. There's so much to look at. I don't know, maybe Can-Am. Can-Am might be stepping up. They've got the new DS450 out here, and they seem serious about the sport as well. and it should be pretty interesting to see who's going to step up.
Well, you know, one thing about Suzuki is they do have a motor builder, Ryan Cox, and then, of course, Rick and Shox, and they kind of have their specialists, and then each rider has his own mechanic as well, and I think that's part of their success, is that it's a little bit different. Usually your mechanic does your motor and your shocks, but over there they do a little different. So I think this is part of their winning combination. And I was talking to Dustin right after he came off the podium, and I said, well, buddy, you've increased your gap quite a bit. This is going to move you 10 to 15 points ahead of our second place racer there in our Super Quad Pro 450. And he said, yeah, man, it's a lot better than going down to the last race. I really didn't want it to go down to the last race and 1 point separating me and, of course, Doug Gus. He said he didn't want to go there, but I said, you know, Dustin, really, that race has got you more publicity, and also it'll be a race that people will talk about for the rest of their lives. And I said, this year, if you just run away with it, it's going to be, yeah, Dustin did great. But when it's close like that, not only does it give me as an announcer something really to go off on, it also makes history. And I said, congratulations on your point gap. But then again, it was awesome the way we wrapped up 2006.
Yeah, I think, like I say, Suzuki's got everybody. Jeremiah Jones, they've got Corey Ellis now in the pits. I mean, it's a dream team. For anybody to be on it, it is a dream. And I think Dustin, it looks like he sincerely appreciates it, and he's definitely returning the offer by going out there and winning. It's doing well.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, here we are talking about Suzuki. Well, where are we at? Cooperland. Who was probably one of the fastest Suzuki riders back in the early 1990s?
That's right.
Guy Cooper, man. Right, Guy Cooper actually won the AMA 125 National Championship in 1990. Guy also won the World Supercross Championship in 1993.
I'm so bummed. I'm sorry to interrupt. I wanted to go talk to Guy, and we were going to do an interview with him. And I was stoked because, man, what a legend. And that's why we're here. It's Cooperland Raceway. He designed and built this track, and I didn't get to. Did you get to talk to him this weekend?
Oh, yeah. That's where I got all my information from. I interviewed him for about 15 minutes, and I could have gone on, you know, talking forever and ever. And he said that he actually came into the picture right after Mark Barnett. And so when Mark stepped down, Guy Cooper, of course, stepped in and kind of took over the reins there. And, you know, he actually rode for Kawasaki, Honda, Suzuki, and KTM in the past. And a lot of people don't realize that, but Guy Cooper, just a phenomenal rider in the early 90s, and it was an honor to meet him. You know, when you're young, you put these people on these pedestals, and the only bad thing about Guy Cooper is he hasn't aged a bit, and I have. I mean, he looks the same as he did back in 1995.
Wow.
And Guy is, awesome. You know, he's real trim and fit, and he was excited that we finally have a big national at this track. You know, he built this place in 1996, and he built it as a national caliber track, and that's what he was going after. And they were actually going to bring a national here, and just after the death of Dave Coombs, they were going to come here, and then something happened. I'm not real sure what happened, but right around that same time, they never made it here. So finally, here 11 years later, he's getting his dream, a national event, and I'll tell you what, it's going out to 90 million homes, you know, WPSA, of course, putting the TV and ATV, and Guy Cooper just ecstatic that we were here.
What did he have to say about quads? Did you talk about that? Did he ever rode a quad? I'd like to see if he is good on a quad as he was on a bike.
Actually, I asked him about has he ever rode a quad, and he said, man, I've never raced a quad. He said, I've got on one. I rode it for about 10 minutes, and it was a little sketchy for him. You know, a lot of people that are good on bikes can't just jump on a quad and race it. And
right.
vice versa.
I agree.
You're good on a quad, you can't just jump on a bike and be good.
Right.
It's not like, you know, Ricky Carmichael, you ask him to jump on a Suzuki and a four-wheeler.
I think he'd get his butt kicked. I really do.
Yeah, well, yeah. Of course he would, because it's a whole different machine.
Right, right. You know? But, what about, hey, while we're talking of famous people here in Oklahoma, what about Kenny Bartram?
Yeah,
right here. I saw these big, huge ramps and stuff. Yep. I understand you were saying earlier he actually rides here.
Oh yeah, those ramps are here. He comes out and does some practice stuff. He lives actually less than a mile from Cooperland, and I talked to him last night, and I said, you know, Kenny, you've got to come out here.
Wait, he was here this weekend?
No, I called him.
Okay.
Okay, I called him. I was down there with the Gulf Coast Quad Racing Association, and I was talking with them, and I said, you know, doesn't Kenny live around here? They said, yeah, he lives right down the road. And I said, well, why isn't he here?
Right.
And somebody goes, well, let's get his number. And they found somebody that, you know, of course, that had his number. I actually talked to Kenny Bartram last night.
What was he doing?
He was down in Texas doing a reality show, and he was locked in for the evening. He couldn't even get out, and he was lucky that he had his cell phone. So he's going to be appearing in some reality show coming up. But, you know, I said, man, you need to come up here and, like, be a guest announcer or whatever. I said, we're not asking you to do any stunts. We just want you here because, you know, you're a famous guy, and we're right here in your backyard. Please come. And he said, man, I would.
He seems really down to earth and, like, a cool guy. I never met him, but it seemed like it would be kind of cool to have him here. Yeah,
He was, and like you said, he was a cool guy, and obviously somebody thought he was because he was in a lockdown at a reality show. So a lot of history here, a lot of great folks in this area. You know, the OCCRA is here, TQRA holds events up here. So
Okra Rocks, by the way. I know we're running out of time, but I gotta say Okra Rocks. So does TQRA. That was just down at my 6 Hours of America in Texas, and if it wasn't for Okra, we wouldn't have had it. They were awesome. Helped us score, helped us get teams. They're coming full force for the 12 Hours of America. I'm stoked to have Okra in our backyard here for the big ATV America.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Speaking of that, let's go on and what's going on in the Blue Ridge Open Championship coming up. But the weekend before, John Pellin, I understand you're going to have a little gig going on down there. Tell us about what's going on next week.
I know we're running out of time. We'll be quick. It's the 6 Hours of Kentucky, our first race in Kentucky. And I couldn't pick a better place. We were looking where we could have it. And I never thought we could have it at Daniel Boone Motocross in London, Kentucky, because he had the motocross track, and I thought that was all of his property and that was it. But I should have spoke up earlier and talked to Jerry, because it turns out there's 150-some acres or whatever right next door that we're able to run the motocross track and the cross country, and it's going to be killer. So I'm really excited about it. And it's the day after Sparta, Kentucky, GNCC, which is a very successful GNCC round. Only a couple hours away from Sparta, they can actually race it on Saturday, show up on Sunday, and race the 6 hours. And then while they're racing for 6 hours on the custom-made, you know, Daniel Boone track, they can get, you know, some practice for the following week. So pretty neat. Everyone's going to be. If you're not in Kentucky, you're not really an ATVer, because everyone is going to be in Kentucky these next couple weeks.
Okay, and what's the dates of that race?
It's actually next weekend's my 6 hours. That's June 10th, and then the following week is the WPSA, which is June 17th.
The WPSA event will be June 15th, 16th, and 17th, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, it is going to be a doubleheader. This is supposed to be the doubleheader, so we will be racing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in London, Kentucky.
Yeah, come on down to Kentucky if you can make it, because it's going to be really good. And then you can't forget, Jerry's going to have the Miss Hawaiian Beauty Pageant.
Miss Hawaiian Truck will be there.
Yeah,
that's going to be part of the WPSA.
He does well with getting spectators, too, so I think it's going to be one of the better ones, London, Kentucky, WPSA.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a great chat here, Inside Dirt. Going to wrap it up right here. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to see you. They're in London, Kentucky at Daniel Boone Motocross Park, June 15th, 16th, and 17th for the big doubleheader coming up. And you know what? If you're not in Kentucky in the next week or so, you missed out, because it's going to be ATV jamboree going there
right on
for the next couple of weeks. And folks, we appreciate you downloading this or listening to this, this is Inside Dirt. My name is Mark Straubinger with Banger Race Announcing. And
all right, well, I'm going to sum it up too here. I definitely had another blast with you, Mark, always do. And this is it. We're going to sign off. This is the second round. The first was a hit. I think the second might be. I hope so. If it is, we'll do another one. I want to thank all the people behind the scenes, Brad Dinon especially. Brad Dinon is our producer, and he makes this thing happen. And Justin Anderson, our trackside correspondent. And that's all I have. Peace out. See you next time.